I'm reading from Deuteronomy 4, verses 12 through 15. The Lord himself spoke to you from the midst of the fire, and even though you couldn't see him, you could hear him speaking. He told you what to do to keep the covenant he made with you. He told you to keep the Ten Commandments he wrote on the two tablets of stone, which are now in the sanctuary. On that mountain, the Lord told me to explain to you all his laws and commandments. He wanted me to do this before you went in to possess the land he promised you, so you would know what was required of you. Remember how, when the Lord spoke to you that day from the midst of the fire, he didn't let you see him.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you again, to be here. Thank you, Pastor Scalfani, for a privilege and opportunity to be here. I should at least let you know who the students are. I won't necessarily call them by name, but all of you who have been attending Mission College, can you stand so that at least I can see your faces? All right, here they are. In particular, thank you. I'd like to just introduce you to one of the students that's the farthest away, and that's from China, Pastor Jacob Liu. Would you stand? And his wife, and their little boy, Joshua, and of course, the grandparents of Joshua. They came to take care of him while the parents take the study. He actually has a church of 1,200 members back in China, and the reason that they've come is with the hope that a school of evangelism could be set up in China, Beijing. So pray for that, will you? They'll become a reality. We're glad that Pastor Liu is with us. Been a blessing. And his in-laws, you'll hear one word of English now and then coming from them. So if you try to talk to them, they'll smile at you. But we're glad they're with us. And I also have a very good friend from the River Plains Church, Paul Knobloch and Lloyd. Paul, would you stand also? Paul and Lloyd, rise to the occasion, young man. There you are. Okay. They have been very helpful to Mission College as well. Paul is actually a contractor, so he came in when we were away traveling. We had to go to Palau to set up a dental clinic, then we had to go to Australia. And when we came back, we discovered that the workers that we had left working got sick. And so we sat back about 3 weeks. We said, how in the world are we going to get this done? So we prayed. And my wife says, why don't you call Paul? So I called Paul and told him the problem, and he said, I'll take care of that. So he came down one Friday afternoon like he did this weekend. Sunday morning, he got up, and by 8 o'clock, got up to work. By 5 o'clock, all the kitchen cabinets were installed. So we were so grateful for that because the students were coming, and we needed to at least have a place where they could be housed. And we didn't know what to do with the floors. We prayed again, and my wife was impressed with an old school friend of hers. They run a flooring business down in California. And when we called them, they said, we'll take the challenge. They came up, and again, in a few days, they were able to put down the floors. So we praise God for the way that things have gone. So the ladies are living in a palace now, and the young men are living in a mansion. We are grateful for the way that the Lord has led. Let's pray together as we study the Word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to spend time with you, speaking to us through thy Word. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All the apartments were filled. Top floor for apartments. Filled with people anticipating the next experience that they were going to have. All the possible drugs that could be brought were brought. It was not long before everyone was participating. And after everybody took off what they were going to use, they sat back, relaxed, to experience the high that would come as a result of whatever they were taking. While in their stupor, somebody raised the question, who and what is God? And the discussion began and continued all through the night, trying to figure out who God is and how to paint God. And finally, when the morning came, everybody dispersed, they went their separate ways. But the memories linger from that conversation because I was one of those who was present. And the pictures of God that was painted was nothing more than the conclusion that man is God. That all you have to do is figure out how to tap into your brain power, and if you can tap into the right source up there, you will be able to accomplish and do all these supposed things that man would be able to do if the brain could be somehow ignited or energized. And so that's why people were using something called LSD. The unfortunate thing is that rather than experiencing a higher experience, they experienced terrible consequences. And that experience brought to my mind the reality that deep inside of every human being, there is that nagging question, who is God? Is there a God? And so, today, what is God like? I think it's important for us to meditate and think about these topics, because we spend our time throughout the week being constantly saturated with all sorts of things that are not God. And when we come away from all of that, we come to church, hopefully we can experience something from Him in our lives to recharge us and get us back out into that maze of godlessness that surrounds us all the time. So I'm glad that we're here and that we can consider what God is like. First of all, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and verse 17, we find that Moses had that same inquiry. Even though Moses has already experienced the power of God by going through Egypt and bringing the people out of Egypt, Moses was quite inquisitive. In fact, he was so inquisitive that when he saw the bush burning, rather than fleeing the opposite way, he actually went toward it just to see what this is all about. So Moses had a natural inquiry concerning the things that he did not understand. So the scripture then reveals that Moses said to God, I want to see your what? Your glory. I think some of you have been to India. Any of you been to India? All right, if you've been to India, you probably have seen all sorts of different types of gods. Is that true? Some of them with a nose coming out like an elephant and big ears. Some of them with a bunch of arms. There are all sorts of different pictures of what God. It's like the blind men that went to the elephant and began to feel it to figure out what an elephant was. And the conclusions that they came out with, the blind people, was that the one who touched the trunk thought God, the elephant, was only a long hose. The other one who touched the leg thought that the elephant was nothing but a trunk of a tree. Then those who touched the walls thought that the body, that the elephant was nothing but a wall. And so, when man is blind, he comes to different conclusions about what God is. But when the eyes are open, you come to a better conclusion. And that's what happened with me. I had all sorts of different ideas about God until I met Him. And when I experienced His life in my life, it gave me a different picture of what we had concluded in that darkness of those apartments back in 1965. Moses was expecting to see something spectacular. And when he said, show me thy glory, and God granted that in verse 18, then chapter 34 is when God begins to reveal to Moses that which he wanted so much to experience. So if you turn with me there to Exodus chapter 34, you see the answer to Moses' petition. And as Moses was put in the cleft of the rock, the scripture reveals then that God had given him the tables of stone. And then in verse 5 of chapter 34, it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And when Moses saw that, verse 8 says, and Moses made haste and did what? and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. That must have been quite an experience. He expected to see something spectacular, but instead he heard something more spectacular. He thought he would see brightness and flashing, but he heard thunder and he heard the voice of God speaking. What an experience that must have been. God revealed his character to Moses. Moses was not disappointed, for if Moses had just seen the form of God, curiosity would have been satisfied. But that's it. For I think you and I know that many times we're anxious to go see something, and once we see it, curiosity is satisfied. And how many of you have seen many, many places in your life that you probably don't even remember what it looks like? Any of you? Those of you who travel far and wide know what I'm talking about. You go to places, you long to see something, you go and see something, and then after a while, you don't even remember the details of what you saw. And so it is with this experience. Moses could have seen the flashing of lightning, and he would have just had this memory of flashing lightning. But there's something far more essential to the human heart than just seeing spectacular things. That's what show business is all about, isn't it? The word show means that that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to show off. And so they call it show business. So if you show something spectacular, you wow people, but for a moment. But it doesn't do anything for you. Is that true? You see something, but it doesn't do anything for you. Internally, it may just satisfy curiosity. However, when it came to God in Deuteronomy with the scripture reading, it's very clear what God said to Moses and his people. He said, and the Lord spoke, in that Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12, unto you out of the midst of the fire, you heard the voice of the words, but saw no what? No similitude. I don't see the Bibles out, so I wonder if there are no Bibles out. There are some Bibles out. I was talking about my students. So notice what it says there. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a what? A voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them on tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw what? No manner of similitude on the way that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. So, what was the result? God left a lasting impression on the minds of the Jewish people, not concerning having their curiosity satisfied by seeing flashings and wonders, but by sharing with them his character, which is most important. Sometimes you talk on the phone with somebody, and when you talk on the phone with somebody, the voice may sound a certain way, but when you actually see them, you may be surprised that they look different than what they sound like. Is that true? Any of you have had that experience? You're anxious to meet somebody because you talk to them, communicate with them, and then when you meet them, sometimes you're impressed and sometimes you're depressed. Isn't that true? It turns out that it's not precisely what you think, what you hope, what you expected. And so it was with God. So what is God like? First of all, the scripture reveals that God is power. Is what? Power. But the power that he demonstrates is not exactly how people would like to see the power being displayed, as Moses anticipated some display of power. But the way that God displays his power is quite interesting. My wife and I were doing an evangelistic meeting in Puerto Rico. It was the first time that I held an evangelistic meeting in Spanish. When we got there, it was a tent. And of all things, they pitched a tent in a cow pasture. And right next to the tent, there was the local sewer, but it was open. And so there was this canal that went right by the side of the tent with the local town sewage flowing by. and the tent in the cow pasture. And they could have said the state bird of Puerto Rico was a mosquito, because we were surrounded by mosquitoes. I mean, there were so many mosquitoes that sometimes when I spoke, I had to be careful how to breathe, because I would breathe them in. And so we were there holding this evangelistic meeting in this tent in a cow pasture with that stream going by. And I went to visit people one day with the head elder on Sabbath. And as I went visiting, we came across a house and we went into the house and it began to storm. It was storming. The rain was blowing horizontally. The wind was furious. And I told the head elder, I left my wife and daughter in that tent. We better get going. He said, no, it's just one of these squalls. It just comes down and it disappears. It'll stop pretty soon. So I said, okay. I sat there and it wasn't stopping. It just kept on pouring and pouring. And I said, we better get going. My poor wife and daughter are in that tent by themselves. And that wind is going to blow that tent down. We better get going. So he said, I guess it's not a squall. It must be something more. So when we got outside the car, the water was already about halfway down the tires. And so we then proceeded to the tent. And by the time we got to the tent, sure enough, that creek had overflowed into the tent. And I found my dear wife and daughter standing on two chairs. So to get to the tent, I had to roll up my pant legs so that I could walk through that water and get to where the girls were. When I got there, one of the deacons said, this is a horrible storm, and I just heard over the CB that we better abandon ship. This thing is going to blow down. I said, we can't leave it. He said, we've got to leave it. He says, this thing is going to blow down. And I said, you go, we're staying. You're crazy. I said, that's okay, but we're staying. And so we stayed. So the other person that stayed, we decided to start singing. Start doing what? Start singing. And as we began to sing, something miraculous took place. The water from inside the tent receded. And even though the water was higher than the tent level, it did no longer come back into the tent. My little girl, and there was another little girl standing in another chair who saw the poor fish flopping up and down, felt sorry for them and jumped and grabbed the fish and threw them back into the creek. When I saw the water level not coming into the tent, I was greatly encouraged, because I saw what? The power of God. I saw what? The power of God. I immediately threw on the light, because I dared not throw them on before, because we didn't want to get electrocuted, you understand. I threw on the lights, and when I threw on the lights, people began to start walking. I remember the lady picking up their skirts so they could go through the water, and the men rolling up their pant legs. And they came to the tent. They supposed that the meeting would be canceled, but instead it was not canceled. We saw what? The mighty power of God. Now I have to tell you that I was humbled to realize that God, in such a time as that, would manifest His saving power. His what? Saving power. Now, about 20 years later, we were in Florida, and I was working with Amazing Facts at the time, and we were supposed to have a communion service in that church. And there was a young couple sitting in front of me, and she kept on looking at me and looking at me and looking at me. Finally, she could not stand it anymore, and she said, ¿Usted Pastor Torres? Are you Pastor Torres? I said, sí. And she jumped up out of her seat and grabbed me and hugged me. I didn't know who she was. She said, you don't recognize me. I said, no. She said, I'm that little girl that was picking up the fish in the tent. And I have never forgotten that experience. And she said, and the whole church never forgot the experience. They saw God perform a what? A miracle. The God of mercy did His wonderful act. So my God is powerful. He's what? Powerful. But I also found that my God is love. He's what? He's love. We were having an evangelistic meeting in a little town called Woodburn, Oregon. Any of you have heard of that little town? Woodburn, Oregon. It was a Spanish church. And we were holding the meeting, and a couple was attending from Mexico. And they decided to give their hearts to the Lord and be baptized. But prior to their baptism, the wife told me the story. She said, we came from Mexico, and my husband and I were very, very poor. And he decided that he would go up to America, swim across the river, and get work, and send money back home so that we could start saving and build ourselves a house. So we did not want to separate. We were madly in love, but he said, I can't provide for you here. I have to go and make money so that I can build you the house. So we consented. He left, and he promised he would write every single day. And initially, the letters came every single day. But then the letters became less and less. And finally, no mail. She said, my heart was broken. I wonder what happened to him. Had he died? Had become sick and ill and couldn't write? What was going on? And then she met some workers that came down who lived in the same town who knew him. And then they revealed what had happened. He had found another. And when she heard that he had found another, she became ill, so desperately ill that she landed in the hospital. And now she looked like she was going to die. And while in her deathbed, she was thinking, and she came to the conclusion that the reason that the husband did this was because he went to the wrong place. And the reason why he went there was he wanted to build a house, and he can't. So she said, I will build a house. Somehow she got better, and she got out of the hospital, and the first thing she did was she bought some little chicks, and she grew them to be chickens. And then they began to lay eggs, and she began to sell the eggs. And then she bought cows, and then she began to sell the milk. And before long, she had enough money to start building the house. And she built until she finally had finished building the house. And then she bought a refrigerator, and she bought furniture, etc. And then she sent a letter to her husband, inviting him to come back home. But there was no response. She waited for a long while. And finally, what happened is that the woman that the husband had found kicked him out. Now he had no place to stay, he had no job, and he had heard that his wife was desperately ill in the hospital. So he decided to return back, at least to see her before she passed away. So when he returned back, he didn't know where to find her. So he went to the mother's house, and when he knocked on the door, who do you suppose came to the door? Well, it was his wife. She was not sick at all. So he said, I thought you were sick. And she said, I was. So what happened? And she said, well, come with me. He said, where? He said, we're going to our house. And he thought, surely enough, she did get sick. We have no house. And so she took him by the hand and said, just follow me. And he said, but we have no home. Just follow me. And she took him to the house. And there he was amazed. It was a nice house, well built. And then she gave him the key and said, open it. He still was amazed. Something strange about this. So he opened the house, and there was a well-furnished home, the couches and the refrigerator and the table and all that. And so he turned around and said, what is all this? I don't understand. She said, you left to build me a house, and you couldn't. So I decided to build a house for you. Welcome home. He was overwhelmed with such love that he threw himself on his knees and wept and couldn't believe that while he was faithless, she was faithful. What love, what do you say? When I see things like this, it makes me understand that God is love. God is what? God is love. Well, what else is God? There are many things that God is that help us to understand what he is about. God is not only love, but his love moves him to save. Moves him to what? To save. The scripture says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God shows his interest in each one of us, even though we may have no interest in him. I remember in Romania, while holding the evangelistic meeting, we had about 4,500 people in the audience. And one night I was speaking about that subject that a lot of people don't like to hear anymore, about the beast and the mark of the beast. Have you heard of those subjects before? The Antichrist? Some people say, don't preach that anymore. That's offensive to people. Well, I was preaching it, but I was not seeking to offend. I was seeking to reveal what God says. Who says? What God says. And if God says it, he doesn't do it with the intent to offend. He does it with the intent to save. To what? To save. So I didn't mention who it was. I just simply went through the identifying marks. And there was a lady in the audience who was quite sharp at history. And when she heard me giving the identifying marks, even when I came to say the city sits on seven hills, she immediately knew who it was. She got up. And she began to try to walk forward, infuriated. And the people said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm going to go and smack that man in the face. She says, how dare him speak about my Pope that way? Remember, I hadn't mentioned the Pope. But she immediately got the picture. She wanted to come and smack me in the face. Well, the church members didn't hold her back, but they stood in her way. And she got so frustrated, she said, I'm never coming back to this place. That man is of the devil. And she left. Well, the next night she was back. And the church members were surprised because she was so angry. And so they said, we're glad you're back. Why did you come? She said, I was very angry. And the next day, when I woke up, I was so angry I decided to do something. So I began to sweep the house. And she said, as I was sweeping the house, I heard a voice behind me, and when I turned around, she said, I saw Jesus standing there. He said to me, these are my children. Go back to the meetings. Then he disappeared. She said, I was so troubled. And as I began to think, I had to obey. And she said, I knew that I had misunderstood something, and I was determined to find out what that was, and I'm back to stay. I should tell you, that lady was among the candidates that was baptized. God is a God who's anxious to what? To save. And he stoops, even though he's the God of the universe, he will stoop down to speak to you. To who? To you. What a great God we serve, what do you say? Listen, Moses wanted to see his glory. God is long-suffering. He's what? He's long-suffering. I'm glad for that particular aspect of his long suffering. I went back to Romania to hold another meeting. And in that meeting, there was a lady that was being invited. And by the way, we're holding meetings right now in Canyonville, not in the Canyonville Church, but in our training facility, which is the old Mormon church that now is the Adventist facility. And so we're holding these meetings night after night. And they're inviting this lady, and she doesn't want to come. But she's too polite to tell the church members she has no interest. But they keep on inviting her and keep on inviting her. And finally she decided, I'm going to go so I can get these people off my back. And so she went and attended. And that particular night, I was preaching about the Sabbath. What Sabbath? And she left trouble that night. She had never heard anything like that before. And she was so troubled that she was determined to find how she could prove that I was wrong. And so they invited a Presbyterian minister to come to town to counter the teaching that I had presented. Fortunately, they could only rent a facility for 600 people. My facility held, actually, there were far more than what they should hold. The facility was supposed to hold 2,000, and we had 4,500. So it was very, very packed. And so they could only rent one for 600. So the damage that they wanted to do was not going to be as great. But anyway, she was happy to hear that they had hired a minister to come to town and to counter what this American evangelist had been saying about the day of worship. And as she listened, she said to me later, it didn't make any sense. The more that the man spoke, the more trouble I became to think that maybe this American is right. And so she began to pray. Here's her prayer. God, if this is the truth, I'll know it if you send that American evangelist back. Now, I have to be honest with you. When I went to Romania, and I was leaving Romania the first time, Somebody gave me a blanket that I could take home to my wife as a gift. When I got to the airport, the teller there said, "You have some extra luggage." I said, "It's not an extra luggage. It's just a gift that was given to me." "Well, it'll cost you $300. And I said, "$300? That's more than my flight cost. My flight cost $265. She said, "I'm sorry. You either pay $300 or you can't not get on the plane." I said, "I don't have $300, madam. I guess I'll have to stay in Romania." She said, "How much money do you have?" I said, "Well, I have $100. She said, "Okay, I'll take that." So I said, "I'll need a receipt." "Yes, okay." Well, she gave me my boarding pass. You think I ever got a receipt? No. So when I got invited back to Romania, how anxious do you think I was to go back and lose another $100? I was not very anxious, so I decided I wasn't going. But the urgent call came and came and came, and I decided I better go. So we went back 3 months later, okay? So we go back 3 months later. And Friday night, they asked me to preach in the same town that I had held a big evangelistic meeting and to preach in a small little church Friday night. So I went and I was preaching. She happened to be Hungarian, and they put me in a Hungarian-speaking congregation to speak. As I was speaking, I did not know that that lady was in the audience. When I finished, she came up to me, and she said, "I'm convinced now." And I said, "Convinced about what?" She said, "I attended your meeting last time, and when I came..." And she told me about wanting to kind of get these people off her back. And she said, "Finally, I went, but rather than getting them off my back, I got more troubles." And I said, "Trouble about what?" "About Sabbath." "What about Sabbath?" Then she told me the whole story. But she said, "When I heard that you were coming back to town, I didn't believe it. So I had to come and see it with my own eyes. Because I had prayed that I would accept this if you would come back. And here you are back." Well, in the meeting, I was preaching about Jonah and the whale. About what? Jonah and the whale. And I used a verse of scripture from Jonah and the whale that it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." The what? The second time. She said, "When you read that text, I felt like a knife went into my chest." She said, "I had to surrender. I give up," she says. "It is truth. It is God's holy day, and I want to be baptized." Hallelujah, what do you say? God is long, what? Suffering. Even when we're stubborn, God still seeks to reach us. I'm thankful that one of the characteristics of God is long-suffering. But when you think about it, think of the pain that we bring to God. For Him to say He is long-suffering, it means that He is suffering long. How anxious He is to save us. How anxious. And how we cause Him to suffer. Many times we take Him through all of our experiences. When if only we would just listen, He could reveal Himself to us. God is long-suffering. God is also consistent. Here's what? He is consistent. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 11, "Jesus the same today, yesterday, how long? And forever." Listen, folks, let me say this to you. Don't allow yourself to accept things that are trying to tell you that the Bible has changed. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Every time I read the Bible, it says the same thing that it said before. It has not changed. It has not what? It has not changed. The teachings of Christ have not changed. He is consistent. He is what? He is consistent. If He says that all Scripture is inspired by inspiration of God, then how much of it is inspired? All of it. Don't let anybody tell you that if this is cultural, it's not inspired. God says how much of it? All of it is inspired. Every single aspect of it. And I'm thankful that you can count on God. What do you say? You can what? What if God was not consistent? What if God was not accountable? What if for some reason you were praying to God and He was taking a vacation? I think you and I would recognize that we are thankful that, as the Scripture says, in the moment when we need Him, He is there. And I love that song, "Just when I need Him, Jesus is there." As I said, with a recent situation with this house, my wife and I thought, how in the world, because we had other situations upon us, Unfortunately, our son had passed away during this time. And then another church of relative had died. So I had to go do a funeral down in Loma Linda. And so while all this was going about with the students coming and the house not ready and all that, we always had to do what? We had to pray. And every time we prayed, what do you think took place? God found a way of escape for us. Hallelujah. What do you say? Praise God that He is consistent. He is accountable. You can depend on Him. I think most of us would say, well, we know that. But sometimes we forget it. We forget it especially when we're in trouble. Isn't that right? When we feel like, hurry up, God. Where are you? Answer my prayer. And it seems like it lingers and lingers and lingers and get worse and worse and worse. I did not know that Brother Wendell was sick. I'm sorry to have discovered it just this morning. But I'm sure that there was a time in his experience when he's going through that. He's praying. And I'm sure there must have been a moment when he said, how long, O Lord? When is the light going to shine through? And I'm sure that your dear wife was agonizing and praying, hoping that this would not be the final end. But sometimes God allows it to get to, it seems like the bitter end. What? The bitter end. But that's when God shines the best. When it is the worst, God shines the best. Because it is then that you can appreciate more how great God really is. If God were to rescue you immediately, you would never understand how profound is wickedness and how bad is evil. But when God allows these things to happen to you and you think that there's no rescue, you think that there's no deliverance, and God finally delivers, the joy is even greater than it would have been before. What do you say? And so God is a consistent God. He is constantly there. All right, now, the Lord shows himself in many different ways to us. He is one who is present, who is loving, who is kind, who is long-suffering, who is tender. Sometimes we have situations in our lives that are very trying and very testing. And in those days and times, the darkness that comes over you, it's when your faith is tried. We should pray that God would bring some of these things on now, not because we want trouble, but for the sheer experience of knowing that God is there. And so when things happen to you, when your faith is tested, when you're tried, that's why it says to rejoice. To be what? To rejoice. Not because of the pain, not because of the suffering, but because of the way that God will ultimately deliver. God has promised that with every temptation there is a way of escape. He is also a gentleman. He keeps his promises. The scripture says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is good. What do you say? The Lord is merciful. The Lord is kind. The Lord is loving. And sometimes we need the experiences to help us to realize that it's not the flash of miracles. It is not the supernatural things. It is His kindness that should draw us to Him. How many of you here today are thankful that you serve that kind of a God? The day will come, there's no question about it, when you'll see His glory. But then you'll rejoice that you could see His glory, because you have seen Him in His person. What do you say? I long forward to the day when I can hear the word from my Father saying, welcome home, son. What a day that will be, what do you say? Welcome home, daughter. What a day that will be. Until then, let's get better acquainted with the Savior. What do you say? Let's get to know Him. Not because of the flash and the glory that others are focusing on, but because of His character, His goodness, His love, His benevolence, His long-suffering, His willing to forgiveness, His power to save. Let's pray. Our Father, while the world is being drawn by flashes, spectacular events, fireworks that wow people. It leads them to look for a flashing Christ. And unfortunately, they will see that. But you have warned us that we are not to be looking for you in those places, but that we should be looking for you in the everyday experience of praying, seeking you, and beginning to understand more and more what you're really like. Oh, Father, help us to seek, to yearn, to know you for who you really are. We know that ultimately, as thou hast said in thy word, we shall see thee face to face. We long for that day. But until then, help us to get to know you so well that like as Enoch walked with God, we too may walk with you. And finally, as you said to Enoch, let's go to my house. We pray that you'll say it to us. We thank you for hearing us. In his name, amen.